1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week we started a sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. And some people don't realize that the Bible actually should be applied to government. In fact, some people say, well, keep the Bible out of government, or that there should be separation of church and state. By the way, that phrase is not in the Constitution. It actually came from a letter from involving the Dansbury Baptist and Thomas Jefferson, where Thomas Jefferson, who wasn't even in the United States when the First Amendment was drafted, actually said that the First Amendment had established a separation of clear separation, a wall of separation. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that the Bible and the church should not influence government. In fact, when you read the Constitution, the First Amendment, it says clearly that Congress shall not make any law to go against the church, or to prohibit the free exercise of religion. So read it. Read the Constitution and see what it says. But we're going to apply biblical principles because we are in an election time. And this is actually the primary election is happening in the state of Florida right now. People are voting. Some people have already voted by mail. We do, by the way, have voter guides, nonpartisan voter guides that are legal to be passed out in churches. We have those available at FloridaVotesValues.com. FloridaVotesValues.com. You can actually look at that. We're going to read some, not only from the Bible, but also read from some of the founding fathers on, and also not only from the founding fathers. Today we'll read also some of those people that lived during what was called the Second Great Awakening, during the time where America was really struggling with slavery and was struggling with abolition, and God was raising up abolitionists. And we're going to actually read from two of those. One is Charles Finney. This is from his lectures on revivals and religion. He said, "The time has come when Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. Christians seem to act as if they thought God did not see what they do in politics, but I tell you, He does see it, and He will bless or curse this nation according to the course they, Christians, take in politics." And we read last week about how God does care about who rules over us. By the way, you can listen to that sermon from last week on our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. God does bless nations that obey Him, and He curses nations that disobey Him. Francis Gimke, from the Equality of Rights of All Citizens, said this: "If the time ever comes when we go to pieces, it will be from inward corruption, from the disregard of right principles, from losing sight of the fact that righteousness exalts a nation, but that sin is a reproach to any people." From Proverbs, quoting from Proverbs 14, verse 34. The secession of the Southern states in 1860 was a small matter with the secession of the Union itself from the great principles enunciated in the Declaration of Independence, in the Golden Rule, in the Ten Commandments, in the Sermon on the Mount. Unless we hold and hold firmly to these great fundamental principles of righteousness, our union will be only a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. We're going to review what we talked about last week and then cover some new ground. And I would encourage you, if you can wait to vote, if you haven't voted yet, maybe you're voting by mail, I would encourage you to wait until you have listened to all of the sermons that we're going to preach on this. By the way, if you can't wait, go to our church website or our church Facebook page and scroll back 2 years ago, because we preached similar sermons 2 years ago on this as well. So we saw that, first of all, rulers must recognize God as our creator. We talked about the importance of this. If God is the creator of you and he's the creator of others, then our life is valuable. Also, in addition to that, we're subject to his laws. If we just happen by chance, well, we're a God unto ourselves, and we can make up our own rules. We can determine what is right and what is wrong. And isn't this what happens in society? You know, there are some people that believe it's okay to commit adultery. There's some people that believe it's okay to murder. There's some people that believe it's okay to burn a business down, that it's okay to loot, to steal from a business, that they're justified somehow in doing so. There are people that believe it's okay to molest little kids. There are people that believe all kinds of things, but the Bible sets clearly what God's standard is and what God's principle is, and we know that if we follow him, if he is our creator, if we believe he is our creator, we know that we'll believe that we are subject to that authority. Also, the Bible actually makes it very clear that we must read God's word, and rulers must read God's word and fear and obey God. Rulers also must be just. Just rulers, judges must judge the people justly. Also, our Constitution and laws, by the way, our Constitution was founded largely on the Word of God. And in fact, one of the texts or one of the books that they used and the founding fathers used in developing the Constitution was John Locke's First and Second Treatises on Government, that had over 2,000 biblical references referencing different principles of what a government should be and what our laws should be. And also that it's important to honor God, honoring God as a nation, having our leaders, our public or our political leaders actually honoring God. And we talked about the importance of defending every innocent human life. And this is something that is critical, especially today. We read just a little bit ago from two abolitionists, and there's a need for abolitionists to rise up today. There's a need for pastors to be abolitionists today. There's a need for politicians to be abolitionists today. Not fighting the same battle that was fought in the 1860s, but fighting for the abolition of the destruction of innocent human life. You see, we have witnessed and we have seen over 66 million preborn children ripped limb from limb. By the way, many of those preborn children, about 40% of them on average, have been black babies. Every human being deserves a right to life, including preborn children in the womb. By the way, our voter guides that are at FloridaVotesValues.com do ask the question of whether candidates have taken a stand to defend every innocent human life without exception. And that's what God God requires of us and what God wants for us. By the way, you can also go and read at personhoodfortaprolifepack.com. You can read our pro-life principles, which lays out and establishes the various pro-life positions on defending every innocent human life. And these are really from the Bible. These principles are from the Bible that we should protect every innocent human life. We also see, and we're going to talk today about how rulers must defend marriage. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, then God said, "Let us make man in our image." We read this, by the way, last week when we were talking about the creation and how every innocent human life should be protected. But this is also true for marriage. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And here we see God's creative order. As we have mentioned in the past, God could have created any way for humans to reproduce. But the only way, and the way that God chose to create humans to reproduce, is through a man and a woman. You can take two homosexual men, put them together. You could put them together for the rest of their lives. You won't have a baby from them. You can take two homosexual women, put them together. Let them try real hard to make a baby. They'll never be able to make a baby without the seed from the man. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It is important that our leaders, our political leaders, recognize that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And this is a biblical principle. By the way, we've referenced from Leviticus chapters 18 and also chapter 20 that God is telling the children of Israel when they're coming into the Canaan land that they need to make sure that they don't commit certain sins. He lays out those sins. These sins, many of them are sexual sins. Some of them deal with incest. Some of them deal with adultery. There's also homosexuality is also dealt with there, and child sacrifice. And these are sins that the Bible says because the people of this land, the Canaanites, have committed these sins, the land is vomiting them forth. And if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you forth as well. There we see a few things. One, we see that the same rules, the same blessing and cursing that was applied to the Canaanites was also applied to the children of Israel. God didn't have a special plan that was only applicable to the children of Israel. We also know that all of those sins that are listed in the book of Leviticus, chapters 18 and 20, are sins that will bring God's judgment upon a nation. You know, there's certain sins that if we sin, it's bad. Definitely it will harm us, and it puts us in a place where we can't receive God's blessings. And in fact, if those sins aren't covered by the blood of Jesus, we're going to hell. But there are other sins that have national implications. The shedding of innocent blood, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, incest, these are sins that have national impact. We also see that rulers must return to the law of God, the Bible, prayer, and creation science to schools. We talked earlier in last week about creation, that we're created in God's image. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, we read this, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of this house and on your gates." There we see very clearly what God has to say about instruction of children. And we know that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that prayer in the Bible and the Ten Commandments shouldn't be in schools. Yet, the Founding Fathers didn't think that. At the time of the Founding Fathers, people, the primary textbook of the children at the time of the founding of this of America and at the time of the creation of the Constitution was actually the Bible, and also the New England Primer, which did teach biblical principles. You may or may not know this, but the public school system was actually founded by the Puritans. The reason it was founded by them was to teach children to read, for the purpose of so that they could read the Bible. They knew that this was very, very important. Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this, "The only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and life of all republican governments." James McHenry, a signer of the Constitution, said this, "Public utility pleads most forcibly for the general distribution of the Holy Scriptures. The doctrine they preach, the obligations they impose, the punishments they threaten, the rewards they promise, the stamp and image of divinity they bear, which produce a conviction of their truths, can alone secure to society order and peace, and to our courts of justice and constitutions of government, purity, stability, and usefulness. In vain, without the Bible, we increase penal laws and men and draw entrenchments around our institutions. Bibles are strong entrenchments. Where they abound, men cannot pursue wicked courses and at the same time enjoy quiet conscience." So there you see that signer of the Declaration of Independence, a signer of the Constitution, both saying that the Bible should be in our public school system. And by the way, we should never have stood by and allowed a group of 9 men. We know that there are women on the U.S. Supreme Court now as well, but we should never have stood by and allowed 9 judges to remove the Bible, prayer, and the Ten Commandments from our public school system. It's time that we have politicians that stand up and do what is right. And even if they need to resist and defy the U.S. Supreme Court, they need to do so that we can return the Bible, prayer, and the Ten Commandments to our public school system. We also need to return the idea that God created the heavens and the earth to our public school system as well. Rulers must stay within their delegated powers. You can read actually from 1 Samuel chapter 8 when the children of Israel asked for a king, and God told Samuel, "They haven't rejected you, but they've rejected me." And also, He warned them, and Samuel warned them from God what the behavior of a king would be. But there's still, by the way, our government today is much more expansive. Our government today is much more expansive than what God has authorized for government to be. And so read the Bible, apply it to biblical principles, and see what God would say, not only is our government more expansive than what God has allowed, our government leaders don't very often live within the amount of money that within their means. In other words, can you imagine if you in your household budget on a regular basis spent more money than what you had to spend and you just borrowed it? Well, eventually the creditors would catch up to you and they would take everything that you had of value. But our federal government just prints more money, we borrow more money, and they continue to spin like drunken sailors. And really what they're doing is they're actually stealing not only from you, but also from your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Generations yet to be born will have to pay the debt that because we're not requiring our politicians to live within their means. And so we need to make sure that we are applying these biblical principles and requiring that our founding fathers or that our politicians would live within their means. Robert Winthrop, former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, said this: "Man, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or the bayonet. It is important that we apply biblical principles to our lives, to our families, to our church, and to our cities, our states, and our nation, because if we can't self-govern, if we can't make sure that we are not living in violation to His commandments and His precepts, then we know that God will raise up a tyrannical government. And we see this happening in our country today, a tyrannical government that will rule by, we'll have a police state. If you don't like the police, self-govern. If you don't like the police, so many police, read the Bible. The police are there because they're needed, because we're so wicked, because we violate His commandments. Read the Bible and apply it to your life, apply it to your family's life, and spread the word to others so that we can actually have a biblical worldview, so that we can realize that we shouldn't be looting and we shouldn't be burning down buildings. We shouldn't be killing people. We shouldn't be committing adultery, committing homosexuality, committing bestiality. We shouldn't be slaughtering preborn children. We shouldn't be violating His commandments. We should be honoring Him and keeping His precepts. We also see Benjamin Franklin from Poor Richard's Almanac said this: "It would be a hard government that would tax its people 1/10 part of their income." Imagine that. It would be a hard government that would tax its people 1/10 part of their income, 10%. I mean, think about all the taxes we pay today because our politicians can't stay within their means. Think about it. You not only pay federal income tax, you also have the payroll tax. You also, in addition to this, if you subscribe to cable television, you pay tax on that. If you have a telephone line, whether it's a landline or a cell phone, you're going to pay tax to that. Very often, not only federal tax, but also state tax, and in some cases, local tax. Some places have, some states have state income tax. Some cities have city income tax. There's also sales tax. By the way, when you go to the gas pump and you pump gas into your vehicle, there's tax there as well. In fact, that's supposed to be for the road. Yet they want more tax because they don't have enough money, supposedly, to fix all the roads. This is because of waste and because they are wasting our hard-earned money, and they believe that they can tax you in so many places, so many ways. By the way, if you stay in a hotel room, you're going to pay more tax because the people that have passed that law and passed those ordinances know that you can't vote them out. We need to require that our government shrink to the size that God has authorized it. And God has placed very specific limits on government. And also, not only the size that God has authorized, but the size that the Constitution has authorized as well. We need to be some people that take care of ourselves, that provide for ourselves, and we need to make sure that our rulers live within their means. We are going to take this up again next Sunday, and I want to encourage you to actually be studying the Word of God, applying it to not only your life, but also your family, to your church, to our cities, our states, and our nations. Also, I want to encourage you, to look at our voter guides at FloridaVotesValues.com. Study to see not only what the Bible says about these principles, but where the candidates stand on these important issues, and apply biblical principles. When you go into the voting booth, remember that God does see. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Shall have a song.